Hello, this is Janet Gallen, and I welcome you to Love Letters Live, a place for expressing gratitude and feeling and love and anything at all that your truth is put to paper in a loving and compassionate way. And we call that a love letter. It doesn't have to be romantic. It can be to anyone for any reason at any time. And I'm going to go right to our guest today. Amy Waters is back. I asked Amy to come back and do another presentation because last time we were together here, Amy talked about finding her real love in life. And I encourage you to go back and listen to Amy Waters' other presentation. And afterwards, I had asked, what was it that I had asked you exactly? Because,
well, you had asked me, what's something that I learned from my parents or something that I wanted to sort of take from my parents and expand upon in my relationship.
So what you learned as a child, either that they actually told you or by example, and talk about that because communication in any kind of a relationship is critical.
Oh, absolutely. And that's really what I have taken away from my own parents, and that it's actually what I'm always studying how people communicate and relate to each other.
What was your first memory as a child of how they related?
Well, you know, it's not so much my first, but it's just a lot of memories
Talk about them.
Yeah, and it's actually what they did that I don't want to do, which is really my mom, how my mother would get angry. Six kids, she just had enough. My father was a working professor, the classic bumbling professor that really couldn't deal with emotional. He dealt with Asian languages over at Cal Berkeley. Yeah, there for 40 years, and, you know, just an amazing scholar. And, you know, she just, he didn't have the skill of communication. He was a very vulnerable, tender guy.
But yet his field was languages.
Languages.
Isn't that interesting?
Absolutely love languages. And Asian languages, which couldn't have been more foreign to us, you know, to really understand, wow, how you even speak. But anyway, so the way things would go is my mom would usually end up slamming the door. That was our cue that to send me in, since I was the youngest, to soften her up.
And then, who would send you in? Your father?
No, all the other kids. It was my job. And then after a day or so, she'd finally let it go, and my dad would give her flowers or a card. But what I didn't see, and it's actually what I see a lot in relationships today, is I didn't really see a skill, the skill of communicating your feelings. And I've really looked at what that takes. And it takes, first of all, being responsible for your feelings, really understanding what they are, being then vulnerable with them, expressing them, not from a place of blame or even
hostility. So taking a
chance
on what, when you say being vulnerable with
them? Being vulnerable, it's sort of like an ongoing issue in my relationship with Phil is the way that he drives. He drives much faster than I like to drive.
Oh, yes.
And I am there, and I'm just clutching the door handle a lot.
What do you, that's so interesting, because I went through the same thing with my husband, and I see a lot of women in that particular issue.
Yeah, yeah. And so really what, and it would just become this bone of contention when we get in the car, because he considers himself an incredibly safe driver, but he's fast. And I can feel he's got this sort of like secret desire to be a race car driver.
Yes.
And he loves the skill of going in and out in traffic. And of course, it has me reeling. And I, so finally what we came to in the communication, rather than just being so angry, I angry at him for driving too fast. He angry at me for not trusting him to drive safely.
Okay, so wait, hold your horsey here. That's a big issue. He feels, because the same with me. And it was a matter of, don't worry, I'm in total control here.
Yes.
Now I have one thing to say about being in total control. Whether your toilet overflows and you see how in total control you are over everything.
Yeah, or a car just goes sailing across the freeway and you don't have control over
that. So the issue is not that you don't trust their skill.
Exactly.
But you've got your own private fear, and could that please be respected?
Exactly. Well, and that's exactly the communication. So what I, so instead of, so yes, these are my feelings. So I express my feelings. I'm scared. He expresses his feelings. He's angry. All right. So I understand you're angry because you feel offended that I'm not seeing you've got this incredible skill. You feel offended that I don't trust you. And then I feel offended that you're not providing me the safety and security as my husband. All right, so we have understanding of our feelings. Now what are we going to do? So, okay, let's make a new choice. All right, I'm going to try and be more trusting of you, that I do know you have skills, and I want you to also understand there are people on the road that aren't as skilled as you, so it's more about being an offensive.
But what do you do with your stomach being in a lurch?
Yeah, so then he says, okay, well then for you, I am going to drive a little slower.
Oh,
I'm
nice.
Going to give more space because it's out of loving you that I want to give to you, not out of a sense of compromise. And that's another thing where I've heard people say, in order to have a marriage work, you have to always compromise. And I actually don't believe in that. I believe in expressing your feelings honestly, coming to some understanding each other's position, and then making a new choice as to how we're going to move forward,
how do you see a compromise? Settling for something neither party really likes?
Yes.
Uh-huh. Me too.
Exactly. And then you feel like you're just settling. And that's not what marriage is about.
And then nobody's really happy about it because
exactly.
Nobody's getting his or her own way.
Uh-huh. Exactly. And so I think over time you kind of get more and more dimly lit in your relationship and you don't feel a sense of passion. You don't feel the same intimacy you did when you first started out. You just feel like you've sort of given little parts of yourself away over year after year after year. And that's not what marriage is about.
It's a dangerous thing.
Absolutely.
It's like one of those flesh-eating viruses.
Exactly. It happens without us even noticing.
Yeah.
You know?
So getting back to your parents, so how did they...
So what I saw with them,
evolve.
They loved each other deeply. They were with each other for 49 years.
Oh, yeah.
They never veered away from each other. However, their communication really could have been, had more understanding. And at the end, of course, there was more of that there.
Mm-hmm.
But I think by then, there was also a lot of anger that hadn't really gotten healed. So one of the things I also really want to be aware of is when we do get angry at each other is always look for, is this rooted in something deeper
mm-hmm.
that we need to unearth now so that it doesn't grow into this tree? You know, let's unearth.
Are you careful to do that often?
Yeah, we do it often. You know, if he's snapping at me for something, it's like, okay, is there something going on
mm-hmm.
here? Are you angry at me?
For
do
something
you feel,
else?
Yeah. Do you feel like I'm pressuring you into something or that I'm not, you know, respecting you in some way, that kind of thing. So you know, it's a constant unearthing, looking for the places where we snap as little just beacons of light to just
unearth. Oh, or little symptoms.
Exactly.
Like a fever symptoms. Or an infection or something.
Exactly.
Uh-huh.
Exactly. And it really comes down, but you have to be willing to be responsible for your own feelings, and that can be difficult because it can really feel like it's the other person making you angry.
Mm-hmm.
And they are doing something to trigger you. And the way to communicate it is really from a place of, I want a more understanding, I want more intimacy with you. This is why I'm telling you why I'm angry. Not because I want to punish you, which can be tempting when
yeah.
you're really angry.
Yeah.
You want to punish.
So talk more about, you said you got, was that the big example from your parents of how not to be? Because I think sometimes, you know, a shining example is one way to learn.
Mm-hmm.
And a horrible warning can be another
yeah.
if you're aware of
it's
what
through
you
pain.
Don't.
Yeah, I think either through love or through pain. Now, they were an incredible team, and there was a deep sense of respect for each other's opinion
mm-hmm.
and, you know, how they connected in their own politics, in their own vision for their family. They were completely partnered.
How did your mother grow up?
My mother grew up here in San Francisco in a French family.
Mm-hmm.
They were immigrants from France.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Uh-huh.
And,
but I mean, the emotional tone of it, did she ever?
The emotional tone was really that she was incredibly bright and her father really wanted a boy.
Mm-hmm.
And so she actually was called Bobby as a little girl.
Uh-huh.
Her name was Frances. And
oh.
So I think she really tried to work really hard to prove to her father that she was just as smart and capable.
So there's a you're not listening to me
mm-hmm.
from before.
Yeah, there was. Yes, exactly. And you're not providing me. And I think that's another place where, you know, with women having more power and being liberated, there's still a place where we want to feel held. We still want to feel
mm-hmm.
Adored and cared for. And so, yet at the same time, so we don't want to see those qualities as weak, where they're not weak.
No. But, and you know, there's, yes, you're touching on something that is really so interesting. Well, everything you're saying is interesting, but that business about wanting to be taken care of,
mm-hmm.
women wanting to be taken care of. There's something wonderful about male strength at
oh,
its
beautiful.
Best.
Absolutely
yes.
beautiful. And I think it's that gallant, you know, there's so much to the word gallant, which we don't really
mm-hmm.
see as much these days. It's not just about opening doors and pulling out chairs. It's
although that's
so
nice.
Much more. Oh, it's lovely.
Yeah, I like it.
And to let and as women to let men do that because it's a way for them to honor you, not put you down, not take away your power, but to honor you.
Really, I heard something. A woman I actually have a lot of respect for. I haven't seen her in ages, but I remember this. And she actually, it's Julie Paeva who runs Table for Six.
Oh, yeah.
Do you know her?
Yeah.
She's wonderful and very smart about men and women. Yeah. And she said in some conversation one day years ago, I can still see that beautiful little smiling face saying this. She said, men basically want to please women.
Yes. Yes.
And I started paying attention. And it is so true.
Oh, yeah.
And sometimes the very things they do that want to please, you might not be in the mood for.
Exactly.
But you have to realize, you have to take a look at it and say, oh, this person's really trying to please me. A little surprise, a little...
Absolutely. And it goes, you know, obviously it goes into the bedroom too, to really let them give to you. And it's out of that that they get all that, you know, nourishment and joy and mm-hmm. connection that they want too. And so, you know, it's been said to me before and I've really looked at it and I can see the truth in it, that men need women and women need women. And it's not a power. It's not like some power
and men need
struggle.
To be taken care of. We all need to be taken care of.
That's right. We bring something magical to the table. And I think that is that emotional place, that place to explore, that place to go a little deeper. And so to really I think as women also to take the power and lead in relationship to go deeper emotionally.
Do you think times have changed, in fact? Because when you talk about how your mother and father were, I mean, there's mm-hmm. that's such a generational thing.
Oh, sure. Oh, sure. Absolutely. I think we're certainly breaking out of roles, but it's like, I don't want to shatter everything because there's also a lot of traditional things that are lovely mm-hmm. that we can bring more depth and maybe redefine rather than feel boxed in by, you know, that whole place of honoring a woman. Rather than feeling like she's got to just be a certain role, you know, housewife or, you know, clean the house or just do all the cooking.
Yeah, well,
that's
ridiculous thing, but yes.
But however, I think women still judge themselves for not being good cooks or not being, you know, not doing all that or not even being there for their kids all the time. I think motherhood needs to be redefined too, from a real place of empowerment, not feeling the guilt. About yes. not being there every day, all day for your children.
By the way, what you see sometimes mothers who are all there, you know, there every day, all day for their children. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, it seems a little boring to me. I mean, these children need to be.
Oh, yeah. And she needs to talk. She needs to have conversation that's a little conversation, too.
Well, that's right. Or she ends up a little sour and stultified.
Yeah,
so it sounds like what you're saying is that male strength that is so wonderful, but so is female strength.
Absolutely.
And it's a little bit different.
It's a little different and to really honor each other in the process.
So did Phil count on your strength right away? Did you see that right away?
I think he was open to it. One thing mm-hmm. about Phil, you know, I've always been a seeker, so I've always been kind of studying all kinds of psychology mm-hmm. and physics and things. And he hasn't, but one thing about him, he was always willing. And that was that in itself, if somebody's willing to learn, then the sky's the limit. You don't have to have all kinds of experience. And
yes. And he went for the whole you.
He did.
He didn't go for some.
He did. He chose me, you know, he chose me before I chose him.
I know. I remember that. Okay, folks, just go back and listen to Amy's other presentation because it's wonderful. You know, the business of being so whole yourself that you get to choose
yes.
who you want rather than submissively letting yourself be chosen.
Yes.
So that's something to listen to. But, so what's the trick here? Somebody has gone for you, for your very strength, and then you do what? Sometimes that strength can, the very reason that somebody chooses you, you have to somehow do what with that? I mean, I'm trying to think.
Oh, well, you know, you receive it. I think it's really to talk more about how you have a relationship last. You know, there's the choosing, right? You know, you get
But do we have to constantly, I don't mean constantly like every day, but sporadically remind our men why they chose us?
That could be nice.
Uh-huh.
That could be, sure, why not? If they're really in a lot of resistance.
Yes.
And they're feeling angry about asserting a certain sense of power,
yes.
your own feelings, or
yes.
you know,
as in, darling, my strength is working for you.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
Yes,
just like yours is working for me.
Yes.
I think you have to know when to get out of your own way.
Yes,
and
it's really see the beauty. remember the beauty that you saw in the beginning, because when you're in the midst of things where you're butting heads, mm-hmm. that's where you can feel really dark. It can feel like, is this a deal breaker? You know, are we not going to, you know, are we going to ever get along again?
Well, and what kind of trust you have to have
yes.
in somebody to have an all out headbutting
yes.
and know that that person is going to stay till the end and still be your sweetheart.
Yes. The kind of trust. And then also to go, well, do I want this anymore? And so sort of then to re-choose, reframe, and see that there's a bigger picture here. There's not just this one issue.
So getting back to your parents, you had a more traditional mother, and I don't know why we call that traditional, because if you do what you're choosing to do, if you're staying at home and cooking, and I happen to love cleaning house.
I do too.
I just find it wonderful.
I do too. I find it relaxing.
Uh-huh. Me too.
Yeah.
And but anyway, if you decide to keep your house perfect and spotless and beautiful and orderly and raise your children and cook beautiful meals, and that's your choice, anything you do by choice is a powerful thing.
Oh, absolutely. Anything you do with love is powerful.
That too.
You know, you're having an impact on the world, but I think that's... But my mother was traditional in the sense of being a housewife. She was completely non-traditional.
That's what I want to know.
In her she was an unbelievable seeker and constantly wanting to teach and grow. And she was so involved politically.
But I have a question to you. What did she actively teach you about love and communication and anything you could use?
Oh, to go for your dreams. Absolutely. Go for what you love. Go for what you're passionate about. You know, assert how you feel.
Did your father ever say anything specific about when you're looking for a man?
Oh, yeah. But the thing, I think I may have mentioned this before. I think with him, he obviously to choose a man that obviously honored you, that respected you, and also to not even hang out with a guy for too long.
Oh, that's right. You
wondering,
did talk, yes,
right?
Yes.
If you know, but you'll know by each date whether you really want to see that guy again, right? And don't hang out
too
long.
So he had valuable things to say to you. It was just in the emotional communication with your mother that...
It was just growing up and watching the two of them relate. Mm-hmm. They totally adored us. They gave us their lives, really. And as they got older, they really did become more wise. They didn't just wait to die. And that was a choice they made as well. That's always a choice we have as we grow older. So, you know, I think that I think there's ways in which... We need to really look at how we're loving today. What are we choosing today? How are we loving each other today? And how can we make it richer?
So you're essentially saying, or a large part of what you're saying is, stay conscious.
Stay conscious. Exactly.
Yes. I know
stay
that's
conscious
so important.
To what you're feeling.
Right.
Exactly.
Yes. And by example.
Yeah, and get creative. You know, get creative in the relationship.
And don't take your own anger if you can, maybe so seriously.
Yeah. Yeah, or take it seriously, you know, have it be something as that you explore. There's so much, you learn things in your anger. Gosh, I've gotten myself my life has changed dramatically out of really finding my anger. I've really found a lot more joy and happiness.
Because of what you do with your anger or what you get angry at?
Well, I was in like one particular situation I was in that I finally got so angry at how I was being treated that... It gave me enough courage to leave because I was terrified to leave.
Uh-huh.
I was young and I was completely entangled with.
So it was one more issue of here's what I don't want next time.
Yeah, yeah. So letting because your anger can be a guide. You know, it can really
yes.
get you clear about what you do want.
It's like mistakes.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, my mother always says about make up mistakes. When there was a big mistake made, she'd say, you know, just consider it another semester at Harvard.
Yeah.
And it's so true.
Exactly.
I'm very grateful for that.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Absolutely.
So let me ask you, and I don't know this, are your parents still living?
No, they're not. They're both gone now.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. So, okay, since we are about love letters,
yes.
Who will you write a love letter to right now?
I would love to write a letter to both my parents.
Mm-hmm.
And the whole context of the letter to be about what their relationship meant to me.
And what would you say, just as an example of thought process? Because planning a love letter
yes.
is a wonderful, wonderful thing. And as far as spontaneity, bah humbug. Spontaneity
yeah.
is great in what you feel. But just to put anything down on paper, not that you should never do that,
yeah.
but to have something really meaningful, you need to plan it out and be conscious,
yes.
again, of what you want to say. and yes. how it's okay. So what will you talk about?
I think that I would really first acknowledge them for the love they had for each other, and also really from my own point of view, I would really acknowledge what I saw in each one of them that maybe they didn't feel expressed in the relationship.
Will you write separate letters to them or a joint letter?
I think I would write a joint letter because mm-hmm. I'd want them to read.
How do you get into this? Sometimes people ask in workshops or just, you know, just in a normal day, I don't know how to start this letter.
Oh, God, well.
And that's a real skill. How do you dive in?
I think not worrying about how you start it. I think you just start it.
How?
You just sit down, get comfortable.
Dear Mom and Dad?
Yes. I would probably write Dear Mom and Dad, or I would write Dear Francia and Michael.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And then your next sentence?
I would say, I generally like to start, I really wanted to write you this love letter.
Okay, perfect. Now that's just beautiful. People need to have that blank piece of paper mm-hmm. is depending on what your personality is, sometimes your friend and sometimes not.
Yes.
So to put something down, and then when you yes. say it all, you can look at it and should, and maybe retune it
or
fine tune it. Maybe you want to start differently, but once you've got something of yourself on that paper, then you can deal with yourself.
Exactly. Just a place to start. Yeah.
So you'll do this, right? I know we go home from here with
yes,
homework.
Because what I love about the love, and I love about your show so much, and I think is so beautiful and so powerful, is to, when you focus on a particular, on love, whatever face it is, it changes you. You transform.
Yes, yes. Because you're concentrating on the positive.
Yeah.
If it's a love letter. Not that you can't write the other kind also.
Yeah.
But if you're wanting to write a love letter, you're gonna see the negative in a positive light. You're going to see
yes.
the negative as a result of their own struggle to be whole.
Yes.
Whatever it is.
Yes. And you're going to do the fine, you're going to fine tune the fine, fine, powerful skill of acknowledgement.
Yes, I like that.
Which is so beautiful. I mean, it is. It's life-changing for the people reading it and for the person writing it. Absolutely.
So in talking about this love letter to them, given what you've learned, how will you get across? This is going to be a delicate, interesting point of your truth put to paper in a compassionate, loving way. Mm-hmm. How will you get across the idea? And I think this is true of so many people in the world. Yeah. How will you get across the idea of I learned what I want to be in life from sometimes watching what I didn't want to be? And will that be acceptable just like that?
Yeah, absolutely, and to really, because I also have a lot of understanding as to why mm-hmm. they did it the way they did it. And when you have understanding, you can write it from that place of compassion.
Yes. So to say something like, it wasn't a crime what you did by any chance.
No.
But it was things that were difficult for me were a beacon of light as well as the things that were not difficult.
Yeah, and from her, I mean, I heard my mom and dad had their own wounds, and so
sure.
They were operating from their, they really did the best they knew how.
That's important to say.
Yeah.
Now, will this be a little bit of a catch-up letter, or would you do that as a separate letter someday? I love those.
A catch-up letter.
A catch-up letter. For parents who are gone, grandparents, who are anybody who's no longer with us on this earth,
mm-hmm.
to say, I've been thinking about you, and whatever it is, how much I love you and how much I miss you, and I want to catch you up with my life.
Oh, yeah, that could, yes.
This is what you've missed.
Yes, because it could also, I'm also at my 7-year term with my own husband, so it could be a great time. I've
yes.
had a full cycle to
uh-huh.
say, here's where I am. This is, and I'm reflecting on my relationship.
And I want you to,
you.
And I still want you in my life, so I need to tell.
Absolutely.
Now,
yeah.
sometimes, not sometimes, I always feel that a love letter, one of the distinguishing things about a love letter is it's about the other guy.
Yes.
And it's not about me, except
oh,
in
yes.
this case.
Well, you know, I think it's both because I would really want to acknowledge.
That's right.
Part of the, it would be the healing because.
But it's love for them that's making you want to talk about
that's
yourself.
That's right.
It's including them in your
that's
present
right.
life.
That's right. And it really is about them. It's not about me and as much about what I have now, but it's about what I saw, what they wanted, and so I saw the essence of what they wanted for me, and this is how I am actually creating it now in my own life.
Oh, good. Okay. So that's going to be a wonderful letter. Now, I always ask, I don't always, but I like to, because this is very important to me. What kind of paper will you use? Now, when I get a letter, a personal letter, before I even look at it, I run my hand over it. I happen to like the scent of paper. I lift it. I see what it smells like. Mm-hmm. There's so much in a piece of paper.
Oh, I totally agree.
And sometimes you can even smell the other person's perfume, and mm-hmm. even if they haven't scented it.
Yeah.
But, so, and I know that paper is a big part of your life right now with what you're making.
I just love paper. Yeah, the textile of it, the texture of it. Mm-hmm. What kind of paper? It would definitely be a beautiful paper. It would be a handmade, or just an ivory paper.
Something that expresses you.
Yeah, and I'd probably do a little painting, stamping on it to bring
wonderful
beauty to it.
Okay, absolutely. And the big question here is, there's so many ways to communicate. You can cook for people and write music and all kinds of things, journal. But in my view, a love letter has to be something sent.
Yes.
S-E-N-T, we were just talking about the
yes.
other kind. And received by someone in the mail. There's something magical about that. Who will you mail it to?
Who will I mail it to? Well, you know, once again, similar to last time, I think I might want more than one person. I think I'd want my husband to read it.
Okay. So he'll have more understanding of you yet?
Me and my parents. Because he didn't get to... He met my father briefly before he died. But otherwise,
that,
he did not meet my mother.
I didn't know
so
that,
it would be
yes.
a great way... And also for Alex, my son, to read it.
Okay.
For him to have more understanding.
So, dear
as well.
Mom and Dad, I'm writing this to you, but I am going to send it to
my own family,
Phil and Alex. Now, what about your siblings?
And well, the other person that I'm, you know, very close to in my own family would be my sister.
Yes, I remember you said that.
Yeah, my sister Camilla, and I'd want to send it to her too. Just
so
to
you make
everything with her.
Various copies.
Yes.
Okay. And. Will you make a copy for yourself? We can do this in this day and age.
Oh, yeah.
I think it's important to keep letters, copies of letters that we
yes.
send, because you may want to look back at it when you're 90.
Yes, exactly. And also, once again, and it's part of, it's main reason why I created the mydreamscripts.com is because it's a place to honor and illuminate our lives. And when we do put it in a special place, whether it be in a special box or an altar, it actually brings that resonance of love into our lives that we don't even understand. We don't even understand how it's going to sink
yes.
through.
Yes.
Yeah.
So I have another point to make, and something you just touched on, which I advise people to go get a treasure box or two.
Yes.
They make beautiful boxes.
Yes.
So
or decorate your own even.
Yes. Or anything that, or I mean, even undecorated if you don't feel like it.
Yeah.
Just
yeah.
a carton. And toss everything into it.
Yes.
So it's in one place, because someday, as I say, when you're 90, you might not want to look back on your own youth and see what you express and what you feel and how far you've come.
Oh, gosh, yes, I do that all the time. I have many boxes, actually, but yes, and it's a fun thing for when you do even die.
I was just
going to say,
yes, it's a fun thing for somebody else. And I mean, maybe you've heard this, but real faith in life is planting a tree under whose shade you know you will never sit.
Oh, neat.
And the same with this.
Yes.
So fling it ahead a couple of generations and know that somebody is going to find this.
Yes.
In 100 years from now.
Yes.
Which means good paper and indelible ink.
That's right.
Oh, thank you so much for doing this with me again. And I want to invite you back, because we have yet another love topic, mm-hmm. which I would like to do with you.
Love
and
to.
That is being a stepmother.
Yes. Yes.
And Wish. Wish Keepers.
Yes. There's another company that I started many years ago called wishkeepers.com.
Yes.
And that is really about, it's really a tool for parents.
Okay.
And children to communicate.
So let's say, please stay tuned for more of Amy Waters, and we'll talk about this another time.
Thank you so much.
Thank
Jen.
You for
Such
doing this. It's just so nice to hear what you remember and what you're going to do with it.
Yeah.
Because gratitude not expressed is kind of a personal tragedy. I mean, I think it's really too bad to stuff it in there. And gratitude taken to the grave is just useless. You might as well spill it out and send it to somebody.
Oh, absolutely. And it becomes part of your legacy.
Yes,
it really does.
100%.
Really does.
Okay, dear, thank you. This
thank
is Janet
you.
Gallen saying goodbye for now. And I just want to remind you, as I always like to say, if you think you need to wait for a special occasion to write a love letter, please remember that writing a love letter is a special occasion. So goodbye for now.